I wrote a blog. I just kind of felt that in the face of the firestorm that was going on during his visit to Ireland, where Archbishop Vigano wrote the 11-page paper, I kind of believe that there's a certain group out there who don't like him, and they are probably fearful of where they think he's taking the church. And by the way, I should say that like when I wrote the article, I first asked two or three people to read it to make sure. You know, I'd always do that, and you know, I two or three people who would be very much involved in church and that kind of stuff. So I wasn't writing it in any way, shape, or form to kind of to cause controversy. I do believe there are certain elements in or around what Pope Francis is trying to do who don't particularly like what he's at. As I said in the article, like, they're not particularly fans of the fact that he's not living in the Apostolic Palace, that he's living in the Dom of Santa Marta, and he eats in the same dining room as those who are staying there and those who work there. They also don't like the fact that he's not really interested in, you know, some of the paraphernalia of the papacy. He prefers to wear a very simple white cassock, and he wears his own black shoes. Like, eyebrows are raised that he doesn't particularly like the kind of the flowing vestments or the lace vestments and things like that. He's far more interested in simplicity, and that's not something he just decided to do when he became Pope. He has a track record in that regard. He used to ride around in the subway rather than in an official car when he was Archbishop and Cardinal. You know, he'd meet the people where, you know, close to where they were at. He was often in the poorer areas of Buenos Aires, on the ground with his priests that he had appointed there, you know. Some people would be kind of horrified that popes don't behave like popes. I saw Pope Francis walk into the Capuchin Day Center and greet and bless and hold hands and shake hands with some of the poorest of the poor people in this city. I saw Pope Francis come out of a meeting with survivors of child sexual abuse, moved and almost silenced by some of the things he heard. I know two priests who were in there, who were in that meeting. I know both of them personally. And they believe what he said to them was sincere and genuine. I saw Pope Francis greet a traveller family up in the Festival of Families. I saw Pope Francis standing for a selfie with a 12-year-old traveller girl, because, you know, travelling families, people who are, they're families among families, you know. I regularly see Pope Francis engage with, you know, some of the most marginalised of our society in terms of you know, and there are and people ask questions around, you know, why for example he kind of seems to kind of, you know, take his time answering, you know, accusations of why does he talk to these people, why doesn't he kind of speak out more about that thing, why does he, I mean, I'm conscious of Christ standing before Pilate, and Christ didn't say a word. You know, Pilate said to him, you know, more or less, you know, why don't you answer me? Do you realize I have the power to crucify or to set you free? You'd have no power over me, said Christ, unless it had been given you by the Father. Like, Pilate couldn't answer Jesus. He couldn't understand Jesus' silence. The Sanhedrin, when they were throwing, you know, accusations at him, they couldn't understand why he kept silent. The Pharisees and the scribes couldn't understand why he walked into the homes of sinners, why he went over the border into the Gentile lands, why he was happy to heal and to make an example of faith in terms of the centurion who asked him to come and heal his servant. You know, they couldn't understand why Jesus would allow a manifest sinner to wash, you know, his feet with her tears and dry them with his hair. There's going to be people in Pope Francis' inner circle who don't understand what Pope Francis is at. And I've absolutely no doubt that this is Jesus Christ's Pope. Jesus Christ's Pope. Pope Francis is Our Lady's Pope and Jesus Christ's Pope. And I think, I really genuinely believe that he knows what he's doing. And I believe also that he listens to good advice. He's smart. He's not a Benedict. Benedict is a wonderful theologian, probably the finest theologian we have. But you don't hear Benedict criticising the Holy Father. And I've no doubt that there's probably been people who've tried to kind of hope and pray that Benedict might stand up and say, enough, But he won't do that because the Benedict is the emeritus pope. Benedict's his main work now is to study and to pray and to write, but mostly to pray. And I know he's praying for the pope every day. There's no danger to our church with this pope. This pope is someone who is leading us all the way down the road to Jesus Christ, and it's the way of the gospel. And if anything, this pope is applying a kind of a pastoral response to certain aspects of church teaching. Like the pope said, how I wish the church was a field hospital. I remember him say that. You know, a field hospital is a place where people are triaged and their wounds are bandaged. And then when they are kind of triaged and helped, then they go off for more comprehensive treatment. That's what this church is. There's so many examples of the field hospital church all over the world, let alone in Ireland. I mean, where Brother Kevin is and Brother Sean is in the Day Centre, where Father Peter McFerry is in the McFerry Trust, and so on. I mean, where Sister Stan and Focus Ireland is, you know, where people are literally in trouble on the margins and need an immediate response, an emergency response. And Jesus Christ is right there with them to try and bandage their wounds. And I was chaplain in Beaumont Hospital for 3 years. And it was probably the three most powerful years of my life, because in Beaumont Hospital, we met people who were very critical instances. We met people who were given a life-changing diagnosis, a new reality in their lives, whatever that was. And, you know, they'd ask to see a priest, they'd ask for, you know, the sacraments of the church and so on. And we were involved there and whatnot. And I saw some things I'll never forget. But every shift, and you do 12-hour shifts, every shift you'd go on to the emergency department ward and you'd go around and you'd say hello to some of the people who are waiting to see a doctor. And we know all about the long waiting lists, so I certainly do anyway. There's no ward sister in Beaumont Hospital Emergency Department or in any hospital emergency department is going to say, you can't come in here. You're a career criminal. You can't come in here. Sure, I saw you on the television. Are you... Everybody that presents at an A&E department is going to be helped and healed. Doesn't matter what background they're from or what they've done. They'll be helped and they'll be healed. It's the same. Pope Francis' outlook is the very same. You know, everybody that comes asking for the help of their priest or their bishop, you know, you have to open your heart and see what we can do and help them where they're at. You know, this kind of stuff, if you're not welcome here or you're not worthy to do this, you're not worthy to do that, is not the right answer. You know? Christ was critical of hypocrites, and you know hypocrites by their fruits you shall know them. But people, when they initially come to you, the fact that they come to you at all means that maybe they do genuinely need their help. People that don't want to know you won't come to you. Our door is open. The door of the church is open, and the door of our hearts hopefully is open as well, and we try to help as many people as we can. Sometimes we've made mistakes, sometimes we've got it wrong. But look, you know, it's worth it. If there's a mistake along the way, isn't it worth it if we've also tried to help some people and tried to bring people to Jesus Christ? Because he alone has the message of eternal life.